I wonder if you've ever filled your car up with petrol or diesel, and when you go into the shop to pay, you realise you've left your wallet or your purse at home. Blood drains from your face as you realise you cannot pay your debt. Thankfully, it hasn't happened to me, but it did happen to a guy further up the queue once when I was stood there in the shop waiting to pay. The fuss and the form filling that had to take place to secure what he owed. Wouldn't it have been better if someone could have just stepped forward and lent him the money? Perhaps with hindsight I could have done. Or better still, paid off for him. Or imagine if you were in a restaurant with a friend or a business colleague, and in order to impress them, you said, I'll get the bill, I'll pay for this, no problem. This is on me. And you then ordered 5 courses of the most expensive dishes, the lobster thermidor and the filet mignon. But then when the waiter brought you the bill again, your wallet was on the sideboard at home, or in your other jacket or handbag. Oh, the shame. You just want the earth to swallow you up on the spot. Suppose, however, that the son of the restaurant owner hears the fuss and comes over to see what's the matter. And then he says to the waiter, it's okay, Manuel. I'll pay the debt he's run up. Leave it with me. How eternally grateful would you be? Not entirely unlikely scenarios in some ways, and certainly as Psalm 103 reminds us, which we heard read earlier, Jesus has done for us what the son of the restaurant owner did for that guy. You see, as human beings and sons and daughters of Adam, we have run up an enormous debt of sin throughout our lives, and we cannot pay the penalty for it. The weight of our sin is such that neither any human being can pay the price that's required for it. As that old hymn, Rock of Ages, goes, not the labours of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone, because thou must save, and thou alone. However good you might think you are, however much you give to charity, however often you come to church, however many good deeds you think you do, none can ever pay the debt your sin has run up. As Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 reminds us when it says, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags in God's sight. We've seen people get in their knighthoods and their MBEs recently in the New Year's Honours list, and one by one they've come before the Queen or Prince William or Prince Charles or whoever. They all get dressed up in their finest suits and dresses. Ladies wear a nice hat. Just imagine if somebody turned up looking like they'd been sleeping rough on the streets for 3 or 4 weeks, all in their dirty clothes, holes in, smelly. If they dared come before the Queen looking like that, the sergeant at arms would soon have them shown the door, whatever knighthood or MBE or anything they had. And it's the same with us. We cannot come into God's presence dressed in the filthy rags of our own righteousness, our own good deeds that we think we've done to please God. The only person that can put us in the right dress is Jesus himself, when he changes those filthy rags of ours for his robes of righteousness. Our rags, our good deeds, our charity giving is useless. How can we be saved from our sin? How can we pay off the debt that we owe? And the short answer, of course, is that we can't. We need someone like the son of the restaurant owner who will pay the debt for us. And that person, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who, as Justin reminded us last week, humbled himself and came to earth as a servant king to die in our place on the cross and to pay the penalty that was ours. Let remind you what those verses from Philippians chapter 2 says. Jesus made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. One of the most excruciating deaths you could ever imagine. If you have put your trust by faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus shed on that very cross, then the benefits mentioned at the start of Psalm 103 and those listed in verses 8 to 14 are already yours. Let me remind you of them, starting at verse 8. The benefits which are by faith in the Lord Jesus. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. What an amazing verse, isn't it? He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Those verses reminded of God's compassion and love in verse 8. His forgiveness in verse 9. His mercy in verse 10, that he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. And verse 12 reminds us that because Jesus paid that penalty for our sin, the Lord has removed them from us. The chains of sin that weigh us down are broken, as we've been reminded in those songs. And the Lord has removed our sins as far from us as we can imagine, as far as the east is from the west. We call that being justified, acquitted, no charge to answer when we stand before him. As Daniel reminded us in a post on the Church Friends WhatsApp group this week, the Lord has chosen not to remember our sins. The trouble is that Satan loves to remind us. Loves to remind us of our failures, of how we've let the Lord down, of how sinful we are. And yeah, we often find it difficult to forgive ourselves too for what we've done. whenever that happens, run to these verses in Psalm 103 and remind yourself that God has chosen to forget them and he's removed them far, far from us. The Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows that we're often like dust, blown about by the wind. But despite all our failings, the psalm ends on a triumphant note in verse 17, where it says, "From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him." Those who have put their trust in Christ's redeeming blood. And that's why we come together to break bread, to remember all that the Lord has done by offering himself, to take our place on that cross and pay our debt of sin, so that on the last day when we stand before his throne, we stand with our filthy rags removed and clothed in Christ's righteousness alone. As another hymn says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." And it goes on to say, "When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne." Make sure that when you are there before that throne, you are not there trusting in your own filthy rags, but in his pure robes of righteousness.